I'd like to share with you today, as we're stepping into the week of Thanksgiving, about that whole process of what do we do when we give thanks. So I'd like to go to a place in the Scripture that's a marvelous psalm, Psalm 100. And I'd like for us to look at this psalm and just see from its verses how we can give thanks, how we can craft that thanks that we're providing for God. There's some neat information here in this. Psalm 100, by the way, follows a group of psalms in the 90s, 95, 96, 97, 98, 99. And they talk about the kingship of God, how God's the great king, how God is overall. And this is sort of the culmination of that with Psalm 100. And it's just a wonderful psalm. Now, what I'd like for us to do is understand a little bit about how the Hebrews put their poetry together. We just sang some songs today, and there was poetry in those songs, and there was rhythm there, and we sang that, we understand that. In the Hebrew concept, they did not rhyme their poetry. They instead used mental concepts for their poetry. And in Hebrew, the concept, they did what's called parallelism. Let me just show you a real fast verse for parallelism. Here's a verse, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Now, this is the parallelism that's there. He starts off saying, your word is, and then he says the same thing one way, and then he comes back in and says the same thing another way. Do you see that? So, it's your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. He's saying the same thing, but he's using different words to convey the same thought. Now, in Hebrew parallelism, there's a whole lot of different types. Some of them, they say the exact opposite. Sometimes they build. Sometimes there are just different ways of approaching it. And it's wonderful. But I want you to see that he's basically doing this kind of thing. There's reason to their writing poetry. More than just rhyming the words, there's reason to it. All right? You understand that? Now, listen, I want you to look at Psalm 100 that way. And I'm going to just show you how this sort of plays out. Here's one of the ways that you can see it's put together. In the first verses, verse 1 and 2, we read these words. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with thanksgiving. Each one of those things has something for you to do. Do you see that? What do? You make a joyful shout, you serve the Lord, and you come before His presence with singing. Do you see that? You're doing something. All right. Now, look at the next verse. The next verse says this. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. Well, you see, this is not something to do. This is something to know. And in the concept of Hebrew thinking, knowing was not just, oh yeah, I got the facts down. I know what the capital of Rhode Island is. It's not just cognitive understanding. It's life knowledge. It's where you know through experience something. You know, we talk about things. If you've been through something, you can give help to other people who've been there. A number of years ago, Cindy had a miscarriage. And we had a lot of people come up to us and talk to us when we had the miscarriage who never experienced that before, and they didn't know what to say. And so a lot of people came up and said, and there were a lot, I mean, probably 70 or so people said to us, oh, y'all are young, you can have more children. Well, you know, that's what people say, but they had never experienced that. I mean, they didn't know that we had experienced a death in our family. Even though that child had never been born, we experienced that death, that loss. And so they didn't know. The people who knew through experience, you know what they came up and said? They said, we've had the same thing happen in our lives. We just want to let you know we love you. We'll be praying for you. That ministered. That makes sense? They had life knowledge. So you can know something, but having life knowledge is a difference. And so here the psalmist is saying, know life knowledge. That the Lord, He is God. It's He who made us and not we ourselves. So you have this knowledge where you're thinking about this and living through that thought, and you have the action. Now look at the next verse. Verse 4 says this. Enter into His gate with thanksgiving and into His court with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Now, is that action or is that thinking? That's action, sure. And so here you see the parallelism that's coming through? They're saying this time they're using more than just one verse to do it, but they're carrying that forth. And now the last verse says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations." Which one's that going to be? In the thinking, the knowing that these things are. And so we have this parallelism that's coming out as it's been put together by the Spirit of God using the abilities and knowledge of the person living in the time to fit music, to fit a song to their way of thinking. They put these to songs, by the way, and they would sing these songs. We don't know what the tunes were in their day, but they would put these to words and we'd sing. In fact, this song's been put to a tune called the Old 100th, an old hymn called the Old 100th. And do you know the doxology? Praise God from all blessings flow. That's usually the tune that's used with the words that were taken from this. They didn't sing the scripture. They took the concepts from the scripture and put it together. So I would like today to talk with you about this. And we'd like to look and see how we can give thanks to God, because this psalm is extremely instructive for us in that. The first thing we see in this action that we're to do is where God speaks to us through the writer, and He says, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." It's a neat thing that God wants us to be involved in doing and giving thanks. There are three things to do for the Lord. You see them up there? Look at it. The first one, shout with joy. Now, why do people shout? Well, sometimes it's their job. Drill sergeants. There's some famous movies and other things where you have the drill sergeant who's just in their face shouting at them. In fact, I don't know if there's a drill sergeant that doesn't shout. And they just, that's part of their life. Sometimes people shout because they're scared. Sometimes they're mad. And they shout. That been your experience? You found that to be true? Sometimes they're really mad. And they shout. Sometimes they're shouting to encourage bravery. We see that happening every Sunday as fans get together and cheer on their football team and trying to be brave to do things, you know? And sometimes that gets a little weird. I mean, it really begins to get weird. I mean, really, really weird. Sometimes actually scary, as people are shouting to encourage things to take place. But regardless, we have people shouting, and that's one of the things they do. Sometimes people shout because someone they love just showed up. And they're excited. I can remember little children shouting when Dad came home. Because they're excited. Well, that's the kind of shouting God wants us involved in. Shout to the Lord. Now, there are times we're quiet before Him. But I tell you, there's also this quality of shouting to Him. You know what that does? One of the things that I found that shouting to the Lord... Do you ever shout to the Lord? I don't mean you're mad at Him. I mean you shout to the Lord. I mean, here we have a command. Shout to the Lord. And this word shout, it's the same word that was used when they were walking around Jericho. You remember on the last day, before the walls came down, and they walk around seven times, and then they shout. That's the word. They shout. Do you shout to the Lord much? One of the things it'll do is it'll wake up your old flesh. It'll get you going there. All right? I want you to do something with me. Stand up. I'm going to say hallelujah. You know what hallelujah means? Praise the Lord. And then you're going to say it three times after me. Okay? You ready? Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
That's pretty good. We're going to do it again because you're getting into the shouting mode here. So you ready? One more time. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Yeah, I'm shouting before the Lord. Again, go ahead and sit down. That's shouting before the Lord. You know, and we can shout things of His praise. And that's a concept. They were shouting because God was so great and so wonderful. And so one of the things that we do in giving thanks is we shout to Him. You probably weren't thinking about that around the table on Thursday. But that's a proper thing to do before the Lord. And then the other thing was to serve the Lord with gladness. Now, the concept here of serving is this concept of where you are The Hebrew word means to give the submission of your entire self to the Lord. You know, that's what all of us are to do. We're to submit all that we are and all that we have every moment of our lives to the Lord. And we just submit ourselves to Him. It means mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual service that's done for the sake not of us, but for the sake of God. Serve the Lord. But how do you do it? With what?
Gladness.
With gladness. Do you know gladness? That's not gladness. In fact, I've seen adults that carry forth these responses that are not gladness. Haven't you? I mean, gladness is where you are excited to be involved in doing it. Not where you're dreading it or upset or I've got to do it. But where you are not passively accomplishing a task for God, but you're excited that you get to do something for Him. Do you understand? We have the Creator who spoke and the worlds came into existence, who allows you the wonderful opportunity to be involved with Him, to serve Him, to do things for Him. And that's a wonderful thing. And He has developed a relationship with you so that if you simply go before Him and say, Lord, what do You wish me to do? If you have an open heart, He will show you. And you'll get a chance to do things to serve Him. Sometimes it'll be you and Him. And you'll serve Him with praise and adoration and just tell Him how wonderful He is. Other times you'll do it in accomplishing things He wants you to do for others. But that's part of our life, right? What's the greatest commandment, Jesus said? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And that's sort of all of you, right? And the second is like it, which is love your neighbor as yourself. So that's our service before God, sometimes to Him, sometimes to others, always with gladness. There was an old church father, Theodoret of Cyrus in Syria, and in the 400s he wrote these words, "Serving the kingship of our God and Savior is nothing like the harsh tyranny of the devil. Our Savior is meek and loving. And serving Him is a joy." I've got to tell you something. When you're involved in serving God, and then the thing He's accomplished you to do turns into a person's life being transformed because of the touch that you gave, the cup of cold water that you gave in His name, the food you gave in His name, the visiting that you did in His name, it's amazing. And how you feel on the inside has really been, it really gets ramped up. So we shout to the Lord with joy, we serve the Lord with gladness, and we sing is the last thing in His presence. The word sing, this concept of singing is kind of interesting because it's a word that just means a resounding. It means an enthusiastic sound. And like what Ashley said today, it's not the just rote thing where you have enthusiasm involved in it. You know the word enthusiasm? You ever use that word before, enthusiasm? That is a word that has, it's a Greek, from a Greek word, two Greek words. The first word is in. Guess what in means in Greek? Take a guess. What does in mean in English? In. In Greek, though it's spelled en, means the same thing. And then enthusiastic, the theos is the word theos, which is God. You know what enthusiasm is? It's where God is in you. That's enthusiasm. God wants us to have this enthusiastic worship of Him and shouting and singing. It's just great. And so I like the song that Darlene Schlecht did, don't you? Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. I mean, because it's wonderful, this great God who allows us to know Him. Now, some people say, I hear in circles where folks aren't Christians, they'll say, well, your God's just egotistical. He's an egomaniac. And my comment to that is, you just don't understand our God. Because our God wants us to praise Him and come before Him for several reasons. First of all, if we don't do that, then we will go and be looking to other sources for strength and help, and they will all let us down. I know because I've tried them, and they always let me down. And everybody I talk with, they go to the source, and the sources always let them down. We got to go to Him first. And the second is this. The Scriptures tell us in Psalm 22, verse 3 and 4, that God is holy and He's enthroned in the praises of His people. You know what that means? As we praise Him, He sort of moves into that setting. And when God moves into something, life changes. Your life changes. And what happens is all of a sudden, you focus on Him rather than focusing on the other stuff that is in life. And He helps your perspective better. And what happens with that is He'll eventually help you be delivered from your setting. Because He's God. So those are three things that we do for the Lord. So may I just give you an encouragement? When you're having your Thanksgiving meal, this will be weird, so get your family. Just say, this is really weird, but my pastor said to do this. So why don't y'all shout before the Lord? The kids will think it's great. They won't understand what's going on, but they have a good time anyway. And just, you know, just a hallelujah, praise the Lord, whatever, before the Lord. Because He is special. And then you can maybe even sing in His presence. The third verse is kind of neat because it says this. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. It's one of those concepts of what we're to know. In fact, in verse 3 and 4, there's these four things that we're to know. The first one is we need to know that the Lord is God. Remember, whenever the word Lord is used, it's that special word Yahweh. It's the word that talks about God and used most of the time in its context with God talking about His relationship with people. I mean, God made us so that He can have relationship. And this is the word that speaks strong to that. So the Lord, this is the one who made us and the one who's love. Isn't that interesting that God is love? There's a lot of things God has. But in John, 1 John, we read that God is love. Amazing who God is. And He has this love that He wants to bestow upon us and have this relationship. Well, this one who's that way, the Lord is God. And that word God is the Elohim word. It's the word that shows the power and the strength of God. You know, I love that because I just remember the fact that God spoke and everything happened. You know, astrophysicists look at the universe and they're blown away by it because they understand more about it than I do. And they just go, man, this is amazing. And many of them have become believers after the 1990s when they sent up a special telescope and they were able to look back in time, as it were. They were able to look back to the and what they saw when they were looking up there. I mean, they sort of became, it was like a massive movement of astronomers and astrophysicists to move into belief in God, many into Christianity. It was just amazing. And they know God is great and powerful. So, this is our God. He is our God. Always good to know. The second is this, that He made us. Anything that you are and anything that you have and anything that you become comes because of God. He gives you the opportunities. Did you know that? In fact, God's not really impressed by your opportunities because He gave them to you. And He's not really impressed with your abilities. You know why? He gave them to you. You know what impresses God? Somebody who's willing to submit before Him and use those for His purposes. He created us. But in creating, not only did He create all humans, He also created the nation of Israel. It's interesting, in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 6, we don't need to turn there, but God talks about being a father to the nation of Israel and how He begot them, how He created them. And He did that at the Red Sea. You remember when He took them out of Egypt? He made them His own nation, His own people, and He created them. Well, you know what happened when we came to Jesus Christ and were saved? God placed us into a special nation. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 talks about the fact that we're a holy nation. And you remember the root meaning of holy is what?
Different.
Different. We're a different nation. God created us. You tend to think that you belong to you, but you don't. There's this verse says that the Lord made us and not we ourselves. A way that also can be translated and is translated in some versions is, and we belong to Him. Did you know that when you were saved, all of a sudden you moved from living a life for self to now living a life for Him? Look at Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. It says this, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Did you hear that? Read those words with me. You are not your own. See, people that are even Christians don't understand that. They think, now I've met Jesus Christ as my Savior, I can go out and do what I want to do. And then they go out and do what they want to do, and they're unsatisfied. And they go out and do what they want to do, and they're sad. And they go out and do what they want to do, and because it's all focused on them, they miss it. And they're never satisfied. Listen, you're not your own. For you were bought at a price. What was the price? The death of the Lord Jesus. You don't belong to you anymore. You know who you belonged to before? Well, you didn't really belong to Him, but you were operating according to the prince of the power of this world, Satan. But now you belong to God. You're to operate with Him. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. And who do they belong to? God. You know, you don't belong to yourself. You belong to God. You'd be operating for Him. So we know that He's God, that He made us, that it's not we ourselves. And then He's got this great picture that He puts for us. He says, we're His people and the sheep of His pasture. You know what sheep need? They need somebody leading them. They got to have it. They're like sheep. Because sheep really need a good shepherd. Because the Scripture talks about false shepherds, bad shepherds, that come and lead for a little bit, and then danger comes, and they get out of town. They leave. And then the sheep get killed. And if sheep follow themselves, they just are crazy. I have this great picture. I don't have it here today. But this great picture of a bunch of sheep at the bottom of a cliff. And they've all died because all of them followed one sheep. And just everybody jumped off, and they all died. And they are so stupid, these animals. They're like us. And unless you have a good shepherd, and you know how we know He's a good shepherd? He was willing to lay down His life for the sheep, and He did it. It's one thing to be willing. It's another thing to do it. He's our shepherd. And He cares for us and provides for us. So we know that He's God, that He made us, that it's not we belong to Him, and we're the sheep of His pasture. And He tells us something to do. He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. This word, thanksgiving, it means to confess something. Now, you've got to understand the word confess, because many times when we hear it, we think, oh, it's confession of sin. No, that's not what it's doing. It's confessing what you've experienced with God. See, the problem with thanksgiving is many times we start off by saying, I am thankful for this, don't we? And who's the subject in that? Me. But see, this word has no, it's translated thanksgiving, but in the Greek and Hebrew rather, it has no connotation of me, but all the connotation of God. So, enter into His gates talking about what God has done and who He is. That's entering His courts for praise. We talk about who He is and what He's done. And we're out of the picture. We're just so far away that it doesn't even, we're not there. That needs to be where we do it. Have you gotten to where you can do that yet? That's kind of an interesting thing, because it's really easy for us to go, and I, but to focus and say, and He is this. That's a concept that's that. Then there's this other part that says, be thankful to Him. That's where we do the I stuff. I'm thankful, Lord, for what You've given me here and for what You've done. And bless His name. You know how to bless His name? You know what that means? I had somebody bless me one day. I only had one person in my life do this. But the person wrote me a card And the Lord had used me in their lives, in the lives of this couple. And they wrote me a card, and the card said this, basically, I'm paraphrasing. They said, there's nothing that we have materially that we can give you, because you have everything you need. And the only thing we can do is say, we bless you. Bless you for being available to help. Bless you for this. Bless you for being open to the Lord using it. Bless you for your relationship with the Lord. And they just blessed us. I've never experienced anything like that before. That was kind of interesting. Well, that's how we're to be with God. What do you give to God? I mean, I don't know about you, but Christmas is coming. I'm trying to figure out, okay, what can I give my dad? What do you give your parents? Especially when I was a child, you know, what do you give them? Because they got everything they need. You know what we can give them? You know what meant me the most when my children were young? It was just words of thanksgiving and little bookmarks that said, love you, Daddy. Just that kind of thing. That was meant more to me than anything else. You know what means a lot to God? It's to bless His name. Lord, I bless you because you are my strong tower and I can run to you in any situation and be safe. Lord, I bless you because you're a rock. And while rocks around here even can move and the earth can shake, you never move. You always stay the same. And we just bless him for who he is. Hey, there are over 350 names and titles and types of the Lord in the Scriptures. You've got a lot to bless him with. Bless his name. And why do we do that? Because he's good. When is God not good? Have you ever been not good? He's not like you. He's holy. He's good. The Scriptures say in James, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father above. The Scriptures say in Romans, and he will cause all things to work together for good. To them who love him, to them who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. And in that process of you becoming like his Son, he'll take every situation that happens and he'll turn it around to help you in that process of becoming more like Jesus. He's good. And his mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. You know what happens with truth in our world? The truth of man. The wisdom of man. It changes. They did some more experiments about something traveling faster than the speed of light. And more scientists are opening up to the possibility that might be true. They've got to get some more evidence. But as soon as they do, they're open to go there. You know what that means? What we've been taught in the 20th century is wrong. I mean, it's right to a point, but they always said nothing can go faster than the speed of light. And that opens up a tremendous amount of possibilities. I know they're going to find it. You know how I know that? Because there's so much beyond what we can ever comprehend. Sort of like when I was a boy, the atom was the smallest thing that was there, and you had neutrons and protons and fig Newtons all going around together in this atom. And they weren't fig Newtons. They were, but you had all this, and that was the smallest bit, and now that goes down a whole lot deeper than that. We continue to learn. But you know what God's truth is? Instead of that taking place, God's truth, it just endures. And so as a grandmama, you get to share the truth of God that will endure into the next generation and will affect their lives. Because God's truth just continues going on. It never changes. It's always the same. His truth endures. So that's a good reason for us to bless him. He's special. He has mercy that's everlasting. And his truth is not only good for our generation, but it's good for your generation. And it'll be good for your children's generation. And it'll be good for their children's, your grandchildren's generation. Because it deals with people. And while situations and circumstances change, people never do. They always have the same problems and they still need God's help as we walk in life. So it's a neat psalm. This week you'll be getting a different verse each day. And I hope you'll think about it and be asking the Lord to help you become a person who has a thankful heart in a special way towards Him, where you move out of the way and He becomes the most important in your world. Well, thank you, Lord, for saving us by your grace and giving to us your Spirit and giving to us this wonderful gift of your Word. Thank you, Lord, that you want us to be interactive with you. Thank you for engaging us. Thank you for saving us. And thank you for walking with us as we go through life. We thank you we don't have to fear because you're the sheep, you're the shepherd, and we're the sheep, and you'll take care of us. We thank you that you made us for your special purposes. And we thank you that you let us know you. Would you touch the minds of my friends this week as they walk with you, that you might lift their burdens because they see who you really are, that you might direct their steps because they're following you, that you might allow them to understand the depths of your great love for them and loyalty to them, care for them, that they don't have to fear. In Jesus' name we pray.